Tonight, would you take your Bible and go to Hebrews 13? Let me alert those who are doing the graphics tonight. I've told them one verse, verse 8. I think I'm going to include verse 9 with that. Hebrews 13, verse 8, and then I will read verse 9. I want to talk to you on what developed in my soul out of the burden, really, of last week as I try to have my heart sensitive before the leadership of the Lord. Regarding the Word of God, I want to talk to you what I've titled Consistent Faith and Common Sense in Uncommon Times. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know when I tell you that we are living in uncommon times. We're in uncommon times because of a pandemic. We're in uncommon times because there is a cancel culture that is at work across these United States. It used to be said that if the mafia wanted you dead, you dead, because there can't be enough of protection for you to live. Now, somebody else can debate whether that's true or not, but that was what was stated. Well, now, if someone wants to cancel you in the culture in which we live, they only have to learn that you ate an extra candy bar at 4 years of age out behind a barn somewhere. And if they find that out, if that's not enough to destroy you, they've got people paid to make up tales and tell on you. And we have become such in this society that anything can be told on anybody and half the populace is ready to believe it. And that's sad. We, in the days when I was born and days I grew up, we live in a society where every person is innocent until proven guilty. We don't live there anymore. When the report comes out on you, you don't have to be guilty. Half the society is ready to pronounce you as judge and jury. You're guilty whether you really are or not. And that is a very, very sad thing. One of the reasons we have difficulty with people, good people, getting involved in the political arena for anything, local, state, or federal, is that in order to run for political office, you've got to be willing to take abuse. I would suppose that it is a given that you would understand that if you went into the sport of wrestling or boxing, somewhere or another, you're going to get hit bad, or slammed to a floor. It kind of goes with that arena. And in this hour, to get involved in any public way, to be salt and light and to make a difference, somebody's going to punch you hard with truth, more than likely untruth, and you're going to get slammed from time to time over things that you have not done, nor have you even considered doing it, but that is the nature of the cancel culture. Now, that is part of a much larger system of the Antichrist to discredit anything that is good or godly, because Lucifer understands that anything that is actually true is true because Almighty God has established it. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. That's true because God has established it. The Bible doesn't have to say that. It's just true because God has established it. And all truth emanates from the one who is truth. And so if there can be a great discrediting of everything that is true and good and godly and noble and righteous, then that's what the spirit of the Antichrist wants to do. Now, without being political, let me just say, as you have observed in the news, we have gone back into this round of stupidity in among the nation's, some of the nation's leaders and the current Seams administration. Namely, if you just feel like you are a female, whether you are or not, you don't have to have the biological change. If you just feel like you're female, now you can go into a girl's bathroom or a woman's bathroom. I don't have to tell anybody in the room from about age 6 up. That's nuts. That's just plainly nuts. But see, we not only don't care. One of the reasons I said consistent faith and common sense in uncommon times, people don't use what brain they have. I don't know anything about the past election. I'm going to leave that to people who get involved and find out stuff and want to prove stuff. But I know this, we had about half the nation be willing to vote for someone whom they knew, if elected, was going to take us down that pathway that led us nowhere before. We have just recently, as a nation, decided that we're going to go back to something we did more than 4 years ago, and that is use some of our tax money, because after all, now, in case y'all wake up in the middle of this, I'm being very sarcastic when I'm about to make this statement. After all, as a nation, we have money to burn. We don't have any debt. And so now we're taking funds and financing abortions internationally. So I don't have to say anymore about how that we need some common sense. You know, I believe if I were you and didn't have enough money to pay my next bills, I wouldn't be trying to pay something somewhere else. I'd want to take care of what was at my house. But that's too complex for leadership in this day, because we've gone nuts. Now, in the midst of a society that has gone nuts, in the midst of one that has its own true physical health issues and definitely has spiritual health issues, how are we going to be people of consistent faith, common sense, in these uncommon times? Well, let's look at our text. In the 8th verse of Hebrews 13, we find these words: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with divers, that is, various, and strange doctrines, which are teachings and philosophies and concepts and ideas. Don't be carried about with that. For it is a good thing that the heart, that's you and I, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. No wonder God would use Brother David to say, guard your heart. It's a good thing for the heart to be established with grace. Why? Because if you don't have some grace in your heart, you're going to see all that's wrong. It is so overwhelming at times, you're going to see very little that is good. And without intending to, your life becomes day by day a life that is devoted to hearing what else crazy is being stated, what else is goofy going on, and your life will be spent thinking about the goofy and the ridiculous. But I want your heart established with grace. Now, not with meats. What does that have to do with anything? Well, meat is something that is one of the necessities of life, but all of life does not consist of what we take in terms of physical food. Let your heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. See, when we eat, we serve ourselves, and rightfully so. We're not supposed to starve ourselves, but we can't spend our life serving ourselves. So let your heart, as he stated here, be established with grace. I say one more time, consistent faith and common sense in uncommon times. Here we go. Number one, stay informed. Now, it's one thing to stay informed. It's something else to spend your life dwelling on what is. You want to stay informed because it keeps your prayer life current. We pray about these things. We want God to know that we know, and we want to take these things to the Lord. He told us in one account that you have not because you ask not. How do you know what to ask for if you don't stay informed? When any of us are sick, we want others to know and pray for, staying informed. When something's going on in the nation that we know would not be pleasurable to the Lord, that could ultimately bring the judgment of God, then we want to stay informed. We want to take that to the Lord. I've been asked several times, Pastor, do you suppose currently that we are under the judgment of God? I don't know, but a strong possibility of it. It could be that we have tolerated what we know is an offense to God for so long that God says, you know what, most of these people in modern day Sodom want that, so I'm going to give them what they want. And when God does that, we want to stay informed and go to the Lord and on a day-to-day basis say, Lord, I know that we as a nation have been a great offense to you at times, and we are part of the problem, but we beg your forgiveness, we ask for your mercy, we pray that you would raise up young leaders, old leaders, middle-aged leaders, who would be people that know you. We want to stay informed. There's nothing to be said about ignorance, and people can do one of two things in extreme. They can live for the next news report. Now, folks, I listen a great deal when I'm listening to Newsmax, but I don't get my Christianity from there. My point being, you can't get your Christianity from a news network. You got to get that on your face, in the Word of God, in your prayer time, so stay informed. Number two, be selective with what you share with others. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me be as specific as I know how. We've got people on every hand that now embrace all sorts of things, and you may be well-meaning to talk to someone about a given something, and it just offends them up one side and down the other, so I would be selective. I would not try to pick a fight. I'm as solidly pro-life as anybody can be, but I'm not going to bring up something to somebody who is pro-abortion and see if I can pick a fight with them. There's no merit in that. And so I'm available to discuss that with anybody that wants to discuss it. And when you start bringing truth into any discussion, anywhere, truth is light. Truth dispels the darkness and exposes what's there. And people get uncomfortable big time, which is why it has not been uncommon through the years. I remember one time a lady coming to our church and was at our church for some time, sweet lady, this has been years ago, and she moved from the left coast. And she said to me one day, Pastor, if you were preaching what you were preaching, the way you're preaching it, where I moved from, you would either be arrested or assassinated outside the church door. And so it has not been uncommon for someone to say, well, you know, I believe he preached the Bible, but he just offended me with something he said about traditional marriage or something he said about this, that, and the other. We don't set out to be offensive, but light is the Word of God. And truth is sharper than a two-edged sword. So kind of drop a trial balloon unless you have a whole day to spend, and be mindful that you want to be selective with what you share with others. I feel called to be a pastor, but I don't feel called to go out tomorrow and see if I can preach to everybody that I meet. I don't feel like that's my calling. I feel my calling is to be a general witness of the saving grace of Christ. And on that note, that in itself is offensive to some, because after all, quote unquote, the philosophy goes, we're all working for the same place. After all, don't matter what the religion is, we're all talking about the same God. And I'm thinking, no, we don't. No, we don't at all. So anyway, with that, just be selective with what you share with others. We're talking about keeping your faith consistent, keeping common sense in these uncommon times. Number three, do not surrender your thoughts and emotions to fear. Your pastor mentioned to you 4 years ago, I guess it was, that I felt like we were nearing the time that some of the church might have to go underground because there's animosity toward the organized church, particularly if you embrace biblical Christianity. Now, nobody minds you embracing religion. That just doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't offend anybody. But if you embrace biblical Christianity, you are a problem. And in the minds of some of them, we want you done away with. We don't think you ought to have an opinion. And if you have the gall to state some of what you believe, you ought to be put in a church house and the doors locked in order for you to say it. But don't come out here on the street doing it. So don't surrender your thoughts and emotions to fear when you seem to be rejected in your belief system and when you are not in agreement with some that things that's going on. And by the way, just for the record, and heaven knows, I have no complaint toward anybody about anything as it pertains to, or at least I don't know that I do, as it pertains to the pandemic we've been in. But look here, folks. Are you listening to me? My family, my faith is all life consists of. I'm staying on this planet because of the purpose of God in my heart and want to spend it with my family, Beth, Miranda, and Christy, and my extended family, which is you. And I'm not going to spend the rest of my life in a shoebox. And if I get sick and die, I've already read the last chapter, one day I'm going to get sick and die, or I'm going to die in an accident. It is appointed unto man once to die. And I'm not going to crawl under a bed. I'm going to take precautions. When I'm not feeling well, or when I'm going to get in your face like we hug a good bit here on Sunday in the second service, I've got a mask on. I'm trying to use common sense, but I'm also trying to be consistent in my faith and enjoy the two basic things that my life is made of. And if you're a Christian, you may or may not know this, but if you take God and God's people along with your family out of your life, if you're a Christian, you don't have any reason to live. And so I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to die with a grin on my face one of these days, and I want to stay like you as long as I can, and I don't think you need to be foolish and see if you can just find out, can I get sick and die? Well, of course you can. Don't be foolish about that. Take the necessary precautions. And I would take more precautions if I had had cancer, or I would take more precautions if I had thus and so. I would take more precautions. There's a lot of reasons to take more precautions than I do. Don't get the impression that my way is the right way and everybody else is wrong or somebody else is wrong. I don't have any complaints with anybody. I'm just reminding us that when you take the things of God and your family out of your life, you have no reason to stay here that will be of any importance to you. Now, I happen to like fishing, but do you think I believe I'm on this planet to fish? Are you kidding me? I could probably do that 2 days next week and get my tank filled up with that and wouldn't have to do that anymore for several months. I'm here because of a purpose of God in my heart. He saved me. The wonder of it all is that God would love me. And he's loved me, and he's made me a part of his family, just like he loves you, and he's made you a part of his family. So I want to just never surrender my thoughts and emotions to fear. I don't care who the president is. I'm not going to be filled with fear. I've got somebody, folks, on a throne higher than the president of the United States. There's one office greater, in my estimation, on the planet that is recognized as greater than the Oval Office, and that's the King of Kings throne. And he's ultimately in charge, so I won't fear. Because God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Number four. You remember we're talking consistent faith and common sense in these uncommon times? Well, number four is practice good personal hygiene. You say, well, Pastor, what in the world has that got to do with anything? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to tell you. Hygiene, is the practice of physical cleanliness that's conducive to good health. And we not only need good personal hygiene physically, we need some good spiritual hygiene also. If I want these hands to stay clean and try not to take corruption of any sort, the pandemic influence, into my body, then I ought to also exercise some spiritual hygiene and not just put corruption into my spiritual man and be sure that I am as cautious, to use Brother David's song, of guarding my heart, my spiritual man, as much as I try to guard and take care of my physical man. And I think we all want to take care of the physical man, don't we? Man, I don't want to be sick. I'm pretty lousy. I'm pretty lousy when I'm well. I sure am lousy when I'm sick. So I want to stay well, but I also want to stay well spiritually. I think it's always a good thing to say as self-introspection for any of us. How am I feeling today physically? And then ask yourself before God this question, how really am I feeling spiritually today? Is my attitude a little raunchy? Am I seemingly on edge? Am I dealing sharply with my wife or children, my husband or children? How am I doing at work today? If my attitude is good as it should be, practice good personal hygiene physically and spiritually. Number five, show compassion even if it inconveniences you. Now, in my humble estimation, when you come upon somebody and you think, that man or woman's got an attitude, why don't you say, Lord, I believe you've shown me that so that I can go out of my way to show that person kindness. You say, well, I don't think I need to become subservient to somebody with a bad attitude. If you could be the Lord's instruments to help change that attitude, why not? And show them a grace they don't deserve, just like the Lord showed us a grace that we don't deserve. And didn't our text say, did I read that wrong? It's a good thing for the heart to be established with grace. So I would just say to you, show compassion even if it inconveniences you. You know, I don't have time to fool people like that. Well, I guess you could say Jesus didn't have time to fool people like us, but he did. And after all, that's what we've been called to. We've been called to be witnesses to people everywhere, and it's many times will require a little inconvenience. Number six. Now we're talking about consistent faith and common sense. Here's number six. Don't buy what you don't need. Well, we have talked about it and we've laughed at it. But all of a sudden, the gold standard during the pandemic when it started, of all things, you couldn't find bathroom paper. I mean to tell you, folks, we don't buy based on what we need. We buy based on fear of what we might not be able to buy later on. Folks, the last time I checked, you can't ultimately live without water. So if you're going to buy up water, I'd understand some of that. But are you kidding me? Now, I don't want to embarrass myself, and I don't want to embarrass any of you, but I grew up in the country. There are things you can do if you run out of bathroom paper, okay? I'm just going to leave it right there, because otherwise I'll wipe some of you out, and I'm not going to do that, okay? So we don't buy what you don't need. Don't stockpile and make it look like, oh, I know now where Walmart gets their load. You're a distribution center right here, aren't you? Don't do that. Most of the people, not all, but most of the people, if you're not careful, you don't have the resources to do that. And so it's just not wise. Number seven, help neighbors and friends who are unemployed. Our ministry folks to our neighbors and friends can't stop just because times become difficult. And can I say this to us at the risk of somebody thinking that I don't know what bad times could be? When I say help neighbors and friends who are unemployed, are y'all listening to me now? We ain't had no bad times in this country yet. Can I tell you what a bad time would be? We're calling one another to say, do you even have a piece of bread? I'm hungry over here. Or I've got a child that's hungry. Have you got anything you could spare with? People breaking into houses to get food. Folks, we ain't had that. And when times really, really get bad, you find all kind of things that we've not experienced in our lifetime. So I would just say, help your neighbors with whatever you have when they're unemployed and they're starting to hurt. Because you know, folks, what these people nationally tell us, that when men start losing their jobs and women and they start going through difficulties they never imagined, you know what they, some of them do? They take their life. It's more than they can deal with. And that's kind of sad. Folks, don't take your life for a loaf of bread. Now, we laugh at my house. I would have pronounced, if I could, genocide on squirrels because they multiply like rats. So I've told Beth, if times get hard, praise God, we won't starve. There's squirrels everywhere in my yard. We'll just trap them and eat. And I've had squirrel dumplings in my life growing up many times, and it ain't bad. It's protein, y'all. It's protein. I mean, I know it ain't nothing but a rat with a fuzzy tail, but that's, you know, if you're dying of hunger, you just got to do what you got to do. And so be willing to help your neighbors and friends. And sometimes, folks, in the midst of a great crisis and hurt and difficulty, you'll be able to be a witness in ways that you were not when they thought that they had the world by the tail. Number eight, don't isolate yourself from the body of Christ. You may not realize this, and I may not realize this, but I need you a lot more than I realize, and you need the remainder of the body of Christ more than you realize. Don't isolate yourself. I want to make this as a general statement. God did not make us to live in isolation. We are social creatures made such by the Creator. We love to shake hands. We love to hug and embrace. And I've always said, and I'll just say it one more time, one of the main means of punishment to criminals is solitary confinement. No light, no human interaction. You get slid some little something to eat. You're in about a, I've had various people tell me the size of those cells, somewhere about 4 feet wide and 6 feet long and maybe 6 or 8 feet tall, and you're put in there, and you just stay there by yourself with no interaction. Folks, people lose their minds that way. And so you need the body of Christ. We need to pray for each other. We need the mercy of one another. We need to know that we have somebody bearing our burden with us. That's priceless. So don't isolate yourself from the body of Christ. Number nine, be the church. We're called in the Scriptures the body of Christ. We're called the church. It's, that word church comes from a word in the New Testament language that is called ecclesia. It means called out ones, and times are challenging. We know times in many ways are very crazy, and you don't want your pastor and your church becoming as crazy as the daily news. Someone's got to be the agent that calls for balance, that calls for sensibility, that says to some, whoa, wait a minute, let's think about our faith at this point, and let's rely on our faith. After all, we have a living Savior. Is that correct? Say amen. Amen. We then are to have a living faith and a living Savior. We don't have a dead faith and a living Savior. Listen carefully. We don't have faith in faith. Faith in faith is not worth a dime. Your faith has an object, and the object of our faith is the living Son of God, who sits on the throne of the universe, who has never found anything too difficult, who has promised he will not leave you nor forsake you, and he is the same in our text yesterday, today, and forever. So rely on your faith. Rest on your faith. Pause in your greatest moment of fear and say to the Lord, Lord, I've come upon a moment where I've got to put into action what I've always said I believed, and right now I'm somewhat fearful, and I know I'm not to do that. So teach me and help me and show me how to rely on you during this particular time. And the way you do that is you act, go ahead and act on what you know is eternally true. Act on God's promises. When you act on God's promises and you find that there is weight in your soul that gives you a stability when other people are so fearful they can't button their shirt, you become a very bright witness in a darkened world that people can be amazed by as they see none other than Jesus Christ active in you. So many people are struggling and confused and don't know, what are we going to do? Folks, I'm not for sure all we're going to do, but I can tell you two or three things I'm going to do. It doesn't matter if a bomb hits us tonight. I'm going to love Jesus, and you can too. I'm going to love my family, and you can too. And I'm going to be available to people as much as providence and the situation will permit. I'm going to be available to try to help and encourage and pray with and for people who need that. Now, I can do that and you can do that. Now, what all else we going to do or not going to do, I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I've got confidence in that. So I'm going to act on what I know to be true. Number 10, pray. I can't emphasize this enough. Pray for the intervention of God's power. Now, we know that God is omnipresent, don't we, church? If we do, say amen. We know He's omnipresent. There's not anywhere God is not. So we know He's omnipresent, but we want to see the evidence and the intervention of God's power. I'm going to give you several things, and we're going to share scriptures with you that I want to be an encouragement to you. But let me just kind of bring it right down to something that many of you saw this morning in the second service, if you were either watching or were present. You heard Joy Yates' testimony. You want to know why that happened in that girl's life? That's the power of God. And we want to pray for the intervention of the power of God. Phil and Kim Collinsworth was telling Beth and me the other night as we were eating supper after the concert about her nephew. And I won't go into that other than to say that, you know, there's two sides of the railroad track when it comes to salvation, saved and lost. And he was about as far on the lost side as a mortal human being can be. And in miraculous fashion that is of biblical proportions for her to tell it, he all of a sudden is finding that his spirit is being awakened to the reality of God and truth. Among the things that shouldn't surprise you about a lost person who's that far into that side of the tracks, he was living with a girl that he certainly wasn't married to. And the long story made short of that is that God not only transformed his life, but God has transformed her life and his live-in, who's now become his wife, because they realized they couldn't do that. We got to be married to please God. And they got married. And in the terms of one family member that she mentioned, said of the nephew, why, he's become John the Baptist. Folks, God has power to transform Joy Yates, and he has the power to transform you and me and our loved ones. And tonight we want to pray for the intervention of God's power. Now, can I suggest some ways of that? Here they are. Pray for the healing of the sick. Now, here's what James said in 5:14-15. You know these. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And, the prayer shall raise him up. Is that what the text says? The Lord will raise him up. So, folks, that's why we pray for the intervention of God's power as we pray for the sick. Now, let me share another one. Pray for others to have spiritual prosperity. I repeat, pray for others to be spiritually prosperous. Here's our text, 3 John 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So he's prayed here that they'd be in health, that's physical, but I want your soul to prosper. So pray for the intervention of God's power to help people to be spiritually prosperous. You say, Pastor, what would that look like? Well, what is spiritual prosperity? The qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, the traits of the nature of Christ. There would be a greater sense of Christ's presence in their life, a greater sense of love, a greater sense of joy, a greater experience of peace, more long-suffering, more gentleness, more goodness, more faith, more meekness, more temperance, more forbearing, more like Jesus. We're praying for the intervention of God's power that people will be spiritually prosperous. Folks, we can all grow in grace, that is, in terms of need to. Don't you think Brother Wayne has a little room for improvement? Don't you think maybe you have a little improvement with me that we could make? Well, let's pray for God's power. I can't change myself. If I could change myself, I'd already done so. I need God's power, so let's pray for that. Next one. Pray for all necessary provisions. You know, sometimes we got the idea, I got this. No point in praying about that. I got this handle. Look at Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need. Now, he didn't say where you work. He didn't say your mom and daddy. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Now, how does he supply our need? According to, not out of. See, if he supplied our need out of his riches and glory, he would be spending from a limited supply. But he supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we want to pray here for all necessary provisions. Pray about the provision you need. Without me listing it, think for just a moment. I'm going to give you just a moment. Now, you don't say it out loud, but think about something that, you know, I need that to live every day. How about a second thing? How about a third thing? Suppose that tomorrow your vitals are good, but for some reason you're paralyzed from the waist down. God forbid, but suppose. Folks, we have the provision of the temporal things that will finally one day no longer be. I need water tomorrow. God provides that. In order to provide that, I need the pump that's down in the bottom of my well to be at work. If that pump which belongs to the Lord, remember we don't own anything, he does. If it quits working, I need to be one that's a good steward, and I call somebody that can fix the Lord's pump, and any money that I have on hand that cost, that's the Lord's money, so I need to take the Lord's money to fix the Lord's pump. That's all his provision. And rather than complain that it costs $400, $500, $600, $700 to get it fixed, why don't I praise him? Lord, thank you that you had let me have that money on hand, and I won't complain again because you're the God of all provision, and you've made that possible. Now, that's just something that's temporal, but we've got eternal blessings. Do you ever thank him that you're at peace? Do you thank him for the spirit that's between you and your family members? Are you grateful, as I am grateful for a sweet wife and spouse? I know when if I die before they do, and I've asked God to let that be if he doesn't mind, they're going to need counseling because they won't know what to do with a husband and daddy that's not there just to aggravate them 24/7. That's what husbands and dads are supposed to do, tease and add spice to life. And just finally they'll say, you need to quit for a while. Dad, it might be something on a commercial, and I'll start just repeating that what's on the commercial. Might just hum the same 4 or 5 notes over and over. Folks, after about 28 times, you know how old that gets. And when I get their attention, I've accomplished what I wanted to do, just being aggravating. Now, why do I do that? I don't do that to strangers. I do that to my family because I love them, and I want them to know I love them, and I don't want to be a boring pastor in the house. Get that grin off your face. I'm a pastor. Don't be smiling. Christians aren't happy. I don't want that attitude. I want him to say he's a clown when we get him home. And we're having a great time. So pray about all necessary provisions. Next one. Pray for the spirit of peace to permeate this society. Folks, would you agree we need a little peace in town? We need a little peace in the country? Folks, most of the time there's peace needed in homes. So here's what 2 Timothy said in 1:7. For God hadn't given us spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. If we want a spirit of peace to permeate society, we don't want fear. We want power and love and a sound mind. All right, next one. Pray for those that's in authority. We want the intervention of God's power among those who are in authority. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Notice this. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Folks, would you think that we could have a little more godliness among those in authority? Could we have a little more honesty among those who are in authority? Then we need the intervention of God's power. I do not believe it's in the heart of a mortal man to be honest or to be peaceful without the power of God. It's God's presence and power that makes that possible. Pray for unity among believers. Unity among believers. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Look at that. Pray for unity among believers. Folks, there's nothing like having unity. And to have unity, we need the intervention of God's power. And folks, when you have unity in the home, unity in the church, unity in a community, it is a sweet and wonderful thing. Last but not least, on the praying for the intervention of God's power, the text of Scripture says, pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, notice these words. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. These are things we need to pray without ceasing. To stay in a spirit of prayer. It doesn't mean stay on your knees all the time. It means just can't let your heart be fixed on thinking about the Lord and speaking from your heart to Him. Lord, help my loved one with this. Help those in my church with this. I pray for this family that's facing this. We need the intervention of God's power. I have... Those were 10 things I gave you about consistent faith and common sense in uncommon times. I'm going to conclude with number 11, and then we're through. This is kind of like a capstone. Put your trust in Jesus for your earthly life and for eternal life. I repeat, put your trust in Jesus for your earthly life and your eternal life. Notice Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. There's nobody says it's done that, but that he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You know what that verse tells us? You can't give up, I don't often use this word, you can't sacrifice and give up anything right now. But what God will not in this life give you something back 100-fold greater than what you gave Him. May not give you back the same thing you gave Him, but He will give you the pricelessness of what you need in this life 100-fold, and He said in the latter part of that, in the life to come. Think about that. We need trust in Jesus. We need the intervention of God's power and trust in Him for earthly life and for eternal life. Now, let me ask this. I know the answer, but let me just ask it. Do you trust Jesus for eternal life? We don't think we're going to get there by way of anybody else, do we? We don't think Brother Wayne can get us there. He needs a ride. We don't think Southern Baptists can get us there. Southern Baptists need a ride. We think our way to heaven, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if we can trust Him to take our souls to heaven, forgive our sin, and give us an eternal home, then why couldn't we trust Him with consistent faith and common sense in uncommon times? Now, we've all been rattled, and I understand all the reasons why over the course of the last year, but the good news is just like when a child is upset and Big Dad's arms moves in and takes care, or Mom's arms comes in and takes care of things, and now everything is fine. Folks, we have a Savior who has not been rattled, not upset about the things we are, and knows how to handle it and control it. Let's put our faith in Him. Be consistent with it. Have some common sense in these uncommon times. He's able. Let's pray together. Our Father, on this Sunday evening, we give thanks to get to be in God's house. It is truly the Sunday night place to be. To be in your house, to be with your people, to fellowship together, to enjoy this period of life together, to find that your promises are still true, that your Spirit is still alive and active, that the rejoicing of our hearts over the singing of these hymns that we sing still bless, as we presented a moment ago, the wonder of it all, that you would still love us. Thank you for the wonderful encouragement and challenge, as Brother David brought to us, guard our hearts. In order to have a consistent faith, and in order to have some common sense in these uncommon times, we need our hearts to be guarded from the world, devoted to you, and be sure that our lives are being poured out as a drink offering for the service and pleasure of our wonderful Savior. I pray, O God, for the unleashing of your power in our lives. I pray for the unleashing of your power in our churches and in this church. I pray, O God, for the unleashing of your power in this nation, upon all of our nation's leaders. I pray that the light of your truth would rout out and expose anything that is not honest and honorable that needs to be exposed, and that the light would drive out the darkness, and that the glory of your presence would work in hearts. There might be a time of great spiritual awakening and renewal and enlightenment and revival that would come to the land. We would pray for those who do not even think of knowing you. They may be religious, but they've never been redeemed. May your power be unleashed in those hearts, and may transformations take place. Lord, you're still on your throne. You're still the God of the universe. How big are you, O God? How big and wide is your vast domain? While we can't even begin to describe it, but we know that in your greatness, your power, and your bigness, you're still small enough to live and rule and reign in our hearts. Now may your will and purpose be done, not only in this time of commitment, but may your will and purpose be done in us in these coming days. Expand, O God, our ministry for that which you desire it to be, that others might hear the gospel call and lives be saved and transformed by the regenerative power of the Spirit of God. For we make our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? This is the time of our response. If you need to approach this altar.